Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 2. I'll be reading verse 1 to 11. So John 2, I'll be going from verse 1 to 11. You can find it on page 89 of the New Testament. Thank you. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servant, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars from the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, can you hear me? Yes? Okay. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that this morning we come before you again and say, "Lord, have your way in each one of us." So, Lord, we just want to say, come by your Spirit. I pray that every word that I speak, Lord, will be according to your will and not mine. I pray that, Lord, that you will be glorified in it and through it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just want to say thank you to Nicole. I thought of that game, and Nicole said, "You backed out at the last minute." Well, I said, "Well, that's what you call delegation." So I think they did a brilliant job. But let's think about this. So please keep your Bibles open, because I will be referring to it this morning. I love weddings. And I was remembering, as I was preparing this, I was thinking about my friend as she was preparing to get married. And it was a great time. It was an opportunity to watch her thinking about the flowers and the colour schemes and what colours would the bridesmaids be wearing and all the stuff that makes weddings so special. And as we think about today and this passage, it's a wedding. Weddings are about celebrations. And it's a great opportunity for a couple to declare publicly in front of others how they feel about each other while their families and their friends watch it on. So we'll look, if you look again with me in verse 2, we're told that it's Jesus has been invited with the disciples to this wedding. Now, back then, the guests, especially the bridegroom, the groom himself, would be in charge of making sure that there was enough wine and stuff at this particular wedding. So for the wine to be running out would be very embarrassing for the groom. So Jesus' mother says, "Jesus, look, what can we do here? They're running out of wine." Now, Jesus knew that it wasn't his time, and I could talk about that in more detail, but I won't on this occasion. But he wasn't being rude when he said to her, and let's look at it together in verse 3. "Woman, what concern of that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." That's actually in verse 4. So he was saying to her, it's not the right time. But I need you to understand that I'm not going to go according to what you want. I only do what my Father has me do. Now, we can all think of a situation. I can think of lots of situations. I want the problem to be solved. And Jesus' mother knew that Jesus could solve that problem. He could do the impossible. She didn't push him. She just mentioned it. And she told him, we're told in verse 5, she simply says, that do what he tells you to do to the servants. Now, when we think about this, that Jesus' mother obviously knew the family quite well, and she knew the servants, because they followed her instructions. So again, in verse 6, we're told that Jesus tells the servants to fill the jugs. Now, it was 6 big jugs, and they roughly could hold about 20 to 30 gallons of water. So, when Jesus told them to pour, to draw some of the water out of the jars, it turned into water. Now, suddenly, there was an abundance of wine. So, from being in a situation where they had very little wine, and the wine was always almost run out, they suddenly found themselves in a situation from having none to 120, probably 180 gallons of wine. So where they had to be fairly cautious, now they could relax and enjoy drinking the wine. Now, so often, when I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking about how can I expand on this? And so often, we look at our situations, as we did in that game, what's possible and what's impossible. We look at our school situation, what's our family situation, our financial situation, our health situation, and we think, is it possible or is it impossible? So often, if we're honest with ourselves, we think that God's not going to show up. Well, God, I've been praying about this for a week. I've been praying about this for a month. I've been praying about this for 5 years, and I've still seen no change. And as I was praying this morning in preparation, God challenged me. And he said, Margaret, what do you consider to be impossible? And if we're honest with ourselves, we don't often sit back and say, God, I don't believe you that you're going to do this. Because we're afraid to admit that there's a part of us that's afraid to say, Lord, are you going to show up? I'm going to trust you regardless if the situation changed. I'm going to trust you. So we think, well, you know, like that game, is it going to be possible? Am I going to be able to get 5 marshmallows in my mouth? Matthew knew after 1 that he wasn't going to be able to do it, so he gave up. Ariane had a whole different approach. She said, no, I know I can do more. And that's how God wants us to be, to know that no matter what the situation is, that he'll show up. It may not be in the way that we're expecting him to. It may not be in the time frame that we're expecting him to, but he'll show up. And it's often the thing that I've found over and over again is God never reveals himself in the way that we're expecting him to. God wants us to be faithful to him regardless. He's not wanting us to be the kind of people, if we're teenagers, if we're adults, to say, Lord, I only want to be around you when you're giving me what I want. He wants us to love him regardless. He wants us to believe that the impossible is possible because he's God. How easy is that for us to hold on when we're saying, but what are you going to do? Are you really going to do this? And my challenge was this morning as I was praying, Lord, I'm going to trust you to do the impossible, even though some things have taken a very long time and some things haven't happened at all. But suddenly I find myself in a place where it no longer matters. So I've made a decision this morning that I'm going to trust him for the impossible. I'm going to believe him regardless how it looks. And that's how it was in that situation. If we look at that situation of a wedding, there was no wine. Jesus showed up. Suddenly, there was wine. Jesus has always been in the business of turning water into wine, sinners into saints, fear into courage, sorrow into joy, defeat into victory, despair into hope, and death into life. I want us to believe that. I want us to walk out of here today saying, God, I know that you can do the impossible because you're God. Regardless of what anybody else tells me, I'm going to hold on and believe you for this. When we was on Friday night, we had our prayer meeting, our new prayer meeting, which is called the Battle Room. And the whole reason that we wanted to launch this prayer room was to say, God, we're going to trust you because we've come to a place of knowing that you're the only way. That the only way we're going to get answers is by coming to you. And as we were there on Friday night, it was a fun time. But God showed up. Not in the way that we expected him to, but he showed up. Are we going to step out and trust him for our everyday situations that he can do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ever hope or dream of? Are we going to step out? I've made that decision, I am. And with that, it means that I have to hold on, no matter how it looks. No matter what everybody else is telling me, give up. But I have to hold on. To be a Christian, we have to hold on. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not that when it's great, I want to be a Christian that time. It's about being a Christian no matter what the situation is. What would we do if we were put in a situation where we had to tell people that we were believers and we were going to lose our lives? Would we hold on? I've wondered about that quite a lot lately. And I don't know. My hope is that I will stand. And I'm spending more and more time trusting that God knows me and he's preparing me so that I can do what he wants me to do in the way that he wants me to do it. I want each one of us to believe that he is an impossible God, that he will do more for you than you can ever hope or dream of, if only you will trust him. Let's finally look back at verse 8 to 10. And it really struck me as I was preparing. I'll read this for you. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they look at it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good one until now." Think about that. That's how God is. When God gives you stuff, he gives you the very best. The world has a way of doing things. It always gives you the best first, and then it sort of peters off. It goes downhill. But God never works that way. Whenever he gives up, whenever he shows up, something that was good becomes its very best. So let's trust in him. And as it says finally in verse 11, Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Are you going to believe? Are you going to trust him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a faithful and wonderful God. I thank you, Lord, that no matter how the situation looks, that, Lord, we're going to believe you, we're going to trust you. We're going to believe you for the impossible. So, Lord, draw close to each one of us. Strengthen us by your word. Help us to trust you no matter what. And I just say, Lord, please, strengthen us and guide us on. In Jesus' name, amen.